Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Green Book is a short political philosophy text by Muammar Gaddafi, first published in the 1970s and later circulated in many editions. It is not a conventional memoir or narrative work, but a manifesto-like political tract that presents Gaddafi's ideas about how society should be organized. The book is best known for advancing his so-called Third International Theory, which argues that both liberal democracy and Marxist systems fail to deliver genuine rule by the people. Across its three parts, the text addresses democracy, economics, and social life, proposing alternatives such as direct popular participation, collective ownership patterns, and a social order shaped by what Gaddafi presents as natural and cultural principles. Because of its political role in Libya and its strong ideological stance, the book is read less as neutral theory than as a window into Gaddafi's governing vision and the logic behind his regime. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a critique of representative democracy and parliamentary rule. One of the book's central claims is that modern representative democracy does not truly empower ordinary people. Gaddafi argues that parliaments, elections, and political parties create distance between citizens and power, allowing a small class of intermediaries to speak in the name of the many. In his view, representation itself becomes a form of substitution that weakens popular sovereignty, because the electorate loses direct control over decisions. This critique is important because it explains why the book rejects familiar institutional forms rather than trying to reform them. The text presents direct participation through popular conferences and committees as the alternative, making political legitimacy depend on ongoing involvement instead of periodic voting. Whether or not one accepts the argument, the reasoning reveals the book's basic political method, identifies existing institutions as structurally flawed, and then replaces them with a more immediate model of authority, claimed to rest on the people themselves. Secondly, the attempt to build direct rule through popular conferences and committees. The book does not stop at criticizing parliaments. It tries to sketch a system meant to function without them. Its proposed mechanism is a network of popular conferences and people's committees that would carry out collective decision-making. This is one of the most distinctive features of the text, because it turns political theory into an institutional design. Gaddafi treats democracy as a practical question of organization, asking how a society can govern itself without delegating power upward. The proposed structure is meant to keep authority close to the base of society and reduce the separation between rulers and ruled. At the same time, the model raises an internal tension that makes the book historically significant. It speaks the language of decentralization and direct rule. Yet it also became associated with a highly centralized political order in Libya. That tension is essential to understanding the book, because it shows the difference between its idealized democratic vocabulary and the authoritarian reality of the regime that promoted it. Thirdly, a distinctive economic view centered on labor, ownership, and need. The Green Book also develops an economic philosophy that challenges both capitalism and socialism as usually practiced. Rather than treating the market or the state as the sole legitimate organizer of production, it tries to define economic justice in terms of who works, who owns, and who benefits. Gaddafi's economic sections are concerned with the moral legitimacy of earning, rent, wage labor, and the concentration of wealth. He criticizes arrangements in which some people control resources, while others depend on selling labor under unequal conditions. The book's importance here lies less in technical economic theory than in the way it links economics to social justice and human dignity. It presents ownership and labor as political questions, not simply commercial ones. This makes the text valuable as an example of ideologically driven economic thought. It is not a neutral policy proposal, but an effort to reorder society according to a moral claim that material life should serve the collective rather than narrow private advantage. Fourthly, social organization, family life, and the book's moral conservatism. A major dimension of the book is its attempt to define social life in broad moral terms. Gaddafi extends his argument beyond government and economics into family structure, women's roles, and cultural norms. This matters because the book treats society as an integrated whole rather than a collection of separate policy fields. Its claims about social organization reflect a belief that political order cannot be separated from everyday conduct, marriage, kinship, and communal values. The result is a text that is simultaneously radical and conservative radical in its rejection of existing political institutions, yet conservative in its desire to preserve or regulate social arrangements through strong normative guidance. This combination helps explain why the book has been read so differently by different audiences. Some readers focus on its anti-elite political critique, while others see its paternalistic assumptions and its limits on individual freedom. The social section therefore reveals one of the book's most revealing contradictions. It seeks liberation from hierarchy, while also prescribing a tightly ordered moral society. Lastly, a manifesto of third international theory and political self-justification. The Green Book is best understood as a manifesto for Gaddafi's third international theory, which he presented as an alternative to both Western liberalism and Soviet-style socialism. The book's larger purpose is not only to argue ideas but to legitimize a political worldview that could underpin his rule and Libya's revolutionary identity. It draws authority from an assertive style that simplifies complex questions into categorical answers, using slogans and definitive statements rather than balanced debate. That style is part of its significance. The book is designed to persuade by certainty, not by open inquiry. As a result, it stands out from academic political theory texts, which usually test assumptions and acknowledge ambiguity. Here, ideology and governance are closely fused. The text seeks to provide a total explanation of politics, economics, and society, while presenting its own framework as the natural solution to modern crisis. This makes it historically important, even where readers disagree with its claims, because it shows how a leader can use theory as an instrument of state identity and political self-authorization. In conclusion, The Green Book is most useful for readers interested in political ideology, authoritarianism, and modern state building, especially those studying Libya, anti-colonial rhetoric, or alternative theories of democracy. It can also interest readers of political history who want to understand how a leader attempts to turn abstract claims about popular rule into a governing doctrine. The book is not valuable because it offers a balanced or empirically tested system. It is valuable because it reveals a distinctive effort to redefine democracy, economy, and society in one unified framework. Compared with many political manifestos, it stands out for its combination of direct anti-representative argument, social prescription, and historical influence. It is also unusually revealing as a political document because the gap between its emancipatory language and the authoritarian regime associated with it invites critical reading. For anyone comparing revolutionary theory with political practice, the book offers a compact but important case study in how ideology can be used to justify power while claiming to return power to the people. If you would like to support Muammar al-Qaddafi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.